chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Grass may dab in the middle. We are grass may dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler, reporting from the Dallas Metro. I'm in Grapevine, Texas, to be exact. And I'm attending the Operation Classified being produced by John B. Wells and his wife, Brindy. I want to thank them very profusely for doing this. There's a lot of fine speakers. This is Saturday, but they started these presentations on Friday afternoon. And there's just a slew of different people up here. There's Oath Keepers. Oh, my gosh. There's other also speakers. Ty Bollinger spoke this afternoon about cancer and the medical mafia is what he spoke about. Stuart Rhodes is to speak this afternoon also. He's the founder of Oath Keepers, and his subject will be building strong, liberty-focused communities, concrete solutions and actions you can take. They've been out in the middle of many of these, like Ferguson, you know, and so forth, and really brought about a lasting peace in some of those communities. And also they protected a lot of property. On Friday, some of the speakers, okay, were Will Champion, Conspiracy Lies and Cover-Ups. That was just a fine speech. Kevin Shipp spoke after that, the deep state coup against the sitting president and the Hillary Clinton connection. Marzulli spoke after that. He got into ETs and UPOs and so forth. Very, very interesting subject matter also. But also on Sunday will be the last day, and there's just a whole slew of different interesting speakers. Will Champion will speak again, Ty Bollinger, and just a slew of people. I mean, come on out. Phil McConnell is here, and he talks about the flights that went down over in Indonesia and so forth. But there's still one day left. Come on in to the Hilton on the Lakes location there. And it's called the Hilton DFW Lakes Executive Conference Center. So come on in and sign up for the last day, and you'll be more than happy. Or come in this evening and finish listening to the rest of the speakers. But you'll have all day Sunday tomorrow after you listen to this broadcast. And, oh, also, William Federer, he had this one-minute thing that went for a long time, and he still syndicates it, and it's about America, about interesting historical periods in America. And he had a breakout session earlier about the Ottoman Empire, the birth of modern Israel, and the rule of oil and Wahhabi Islam in today's Middle East crisis. So he spoke very, very pointedly to that subject. And we're up here filming some of these. We're also enjoying some of these fine speakers. I want to play next or first here an interview that John B. Wells had in July of 2016 before the election with William F. Flynn, Lieutenant General William F. Flynn. And we're up here up here together, coming together, a lot of patriots throughout Texas and the surrounding states in the country to raise money for his defense. We feel that some of these 302s filled out by the FBI were false and conjured up and so forth. And that has been coming out slowly but surely. But we're up here at Grapevine at the Hilton. Hilton DFW Lakes Executive Conference Center. So come up and join with us. Also, this first clip will be a John B. Wells interview that he had with General Flynn. So listen carefully what they had to say. And this is pointed towards Hillary and all this wrongdoing. So listen carefully. Here we go next.
Welcome to Caravan to Midnight for the very first time, Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn. If you just type his rank and name into any search engine, you see all kinds of things. Head of Pentagon Intelligence Agency, forced out, officials say, from the Washington Post. A curveball in Trump's Veep search, seriously considering retired Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn. Flynn's last interview, iconoclast departs DIA, that's the Defense Intelligence Agency, with a warning. Controversial Army general rumored to be on Trump's VP list. On and on and on and on. He is, well, let me tell you about his he is well qualified to write and publish a book. It is titled, The Field of Fight, How We Can Win the Global War Against Radical Islam and Its Allies. Came out the 12th of last month, that would be July. And he served as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, commander of the Joint Functional Component Command for Intelligence, Surveillance, and Reconnaissance, and chair of the Military Intelligence Board from July 24, 2012 to August 2, 2014. Prior to that, he served as assistant director of National Intelligence. He consistently pushed for greater information and intelligence sharing and was a leading figure in coalition and special operations intelligence operations. General Flynn co-authored a report in January 2010 through the Center for a New American Security entitled Fixing Intel, a Blueprint for Making Intelligence Relevant in Afghanistan, which criticized the intelligence community for lacking an understanding of the human socio-context of the battlefield in Afghanistan. His military career was primarily operational with numerous combat arms, conventional and special operations senior intelligence assignments. He also served as the senior intelligence officer for the Joint Special Operations Command, sometimes known as JSOC, where he was credited with creating innovative techniques for interrogation operations and in operations intelligence fusion, leading to major breakthroughs in counterterrorism operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere against Al-Qaeda and its associated movements. He is a published author, as I mentioned, his book, articles appearing in Small Wars Journal, Military Review, Joint Forces Quarterly, the Center for a New American Security, and other military and intelligence publications. In May 2016, he emerged as one of several leading possible choices as vice presidential running mate for Republican nominee Donald Trump. However, he was ultimately passed over for Indiana Governor Mike Pence. But he spoke on U.S. leadership and American exceptionalism at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Welcome, General. It's so good to have you with us. Thank you for being here.
Well, thanks so much there, John B. Wells, and I really appreciate you having me on and being able to talk to your great listeners.
General Flynn, let me ask you something. Let me just come right out of the chute with this one. This presidential election, now these are my words, not yours, and just I can take a trimming if I've got one, especially from a general, okay? But it's like you have a morally bankrupt, in my opinion, Democratic candidate in Hillary Clinton, who, if not convicted and or at least charged, has been linked to all kinds of nefarious activity. Supposedly a professed lesbian woman and married to an impeached president, a known rapist and predator, a visitor to Jeffrey Epstein's fantasy island and all this stuff. This foundation money that pours in from all over the world. And now, recently, it has been alleged that now Russia has 20% of our uranium deposits through a deal brokered largely by Secretary Madam Clinton, let's just call her that. What's wrong with this picture, General? Is this the very best that the other side, the Democrats, can do? I mean, how is this even possible?
I think, John, for your listeners, and what this really shows is it shows an organization that I describe as the Clinton machine that has taken over a part of our country. And you have the incumbency of Barack Obama, who actually is in fact behind it, supporting it, to continue our country down this path towards socialism. And these are people who are enormously power hungry. And when they say that they care about the national security, or they care about the direction of our country, actually what they care about is staying in power. And they care about taking this country down a path that is a path, again, towards socialism. And that's what you're seeing. I mean, when you look at the amount of times that she has lied, been caught, blatantly caught lying And to include even just this past weekend here, where she was on one of the major media outlets in the United States here, where she lied again. To me, it's unbelievable. But all that said, this is why this election that's coming up in a few months from now, in November, is so critical to our country. And people need to really look at what direction do they want this country to go. If people want it to go down the path of socialism, where you have a political class that is so power hungry and care only about themselves and staying in power, then you know what? Then, be my guest. But that's not the direction that I want to see this country. Our country is having some problems right now, to say the least. And I would just tell you that we're looking at a level of corruption in our country right now, in our political system, in our country. I mean, John, just look at what just came out with the release of these emails prior to the Democratic National Convention that showed a level of corruption that actually rigged the Democratic primary to beat Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders would have likely had won had they not been rigged, had those elections not been rigged. And they were rigged to benefit Hillary Clinton, to keep her and the machine around her in power. I mean, that's just an unbelievable level of corruption that you would only, I've seen it in third world countries, in many of the places that I've seen around the world in my days in the military. So this is third world behavior by one of our major parties, by somebody who wants to be the next president of the United States, who should otherwise be in jail right now. If I did a tenth of what she did in terms of disclosing classified intelligence that she's already been described by the FBI director as having done, I'd be in jail right now. So this country has a big decision to make. And this is not one to sit out. This is not an election to sit out. And I talked about that when I talked about American exceptionalism and American leadership. This is one where the country needs to wake up and really, really take a hard look at what direction do we want this country to go in. I don't want it to go. I don't want any Clintons around our White House. I want none of that anymore. I'm sick of it. I think the country's had enough of it. And that's why I think that there's so much attraction to Donald Trump, who represents bold, fresh leadership, and sort of a new idea that keeps us on the track that we should be on, which is based on our Constitution. And I could go on and on, John. Let me say one other thing and I'll stop.
No, it's all right.
What your audience, and this is what I tell people around the United States, we should not fear what our country was built upon. Our country was built upon a Judeo-Christian set of values, principles, and morals. And we should not feel like we have to apologize for that. We should feel emboldened by what our country was built upon. And we should be proud of that fact. And we should talk about it publicly and not be around the world apologizing for who we are, which is what our current president does. And frankly, there'll be more of the same if we have Hillary Clinton as the president. So this is where a guy like me is at, and why I'm sitting here having this conversation with you, John, is because I looked at the direction that America was taking. I saw while I was in uniform, and I was very adamant in uniform in my advising those that I was able to talk to, and very, in very blunt terms, but they didn't like it. They didn't like to hear the truth. But I'm telling you that as I step out and I'm sitting here today with you, I am telling your listeners that while in uniform, I saw and I heard this White House lie to the American people multiple times. And now that I'm out, I've decided I'm going to serve this country in a different way. And I decided I'm going to serve it in the way that I am, which is basically being a voice, hopefully, of integrity and honesty for some of the things that are going on within our government and frankly around the world, because our country must get itself back on track. It doesn't mean going back in time. It means getting on a track that keeps us on the track that our Constitution essentially says is the direction that we need to go. And then we can make adjustments from there, but not towards socialism, which is the direction that we're heading.
You know, it's amazing that Bernie Sanders threw his hat into Hillary's ring now.
Yeah, I felt bad for him, actually. I think he just gave up. I just honestly think that, you know, and you could see it in his face during the Democratic convention. You could hear it in his voice. I mean, it was like he just said, you know what? I give up. I can't fight this corruption anymore. This is like he said during the whole primary campaign, the system is rigged. And guess what, Bernie? It was rigged against you from the beginning by your own party that you were trying to uplift. So, I mean, all the people that supported Bernie Sanders should feel disgusted, highly, highly disgusted with the way not only Bernie Sanders was treated, but the millions of people that came out to vote for Bernie Sanders because he had, you know, actually, I didn't agree with the direction he wanted to take the country. But Bernie Sanders was being honest. He was being honest in his own beliefs and his own feelings about what he wanted. And he wanted to move away from the greed and the corruption that existed. And what happened was that greed and corruption turned against him in his own party, and they caused him to fail. And I think Bernie Sanders just said, you know, to hell with it. I'm done. I can't fight this. This is so bad. I don't even want to fight it anymore. And that's kind of where we are.
That interview with John B. Wells and General Flynn pretty well lays it out of why they went after him. Flynn was adamantly against this deep state. Hillary is in there with all these very powerful people. BlackRock was behind her as the biggest investment company in the world. It manages between $4.5 and $6 trillion. That's spelled with a T, trillion, not billion, my listening audience. And so Flynn and them were on there, and Trump was on to Hillary, and they were after her to put her in prison, you know, for her wrongdoing on that private server that she had, that email server that compromised to a great extent much of our you know, security, our national security. They believe that many CIA agents were outed in one way or another through the hacking of that through foreign entities, and many of our prized agents, CIA agents and intelligence agents working overseas were compromised. That's just one thing. Now we have Whitaker, okay, has just been appointed by Trump as Attorney General, and Jeff Sessions is gone, okay? So what we have now is a hardliner in Whitaker, but an honest person. And he's moving aggressively to move against this scandal, this deep, you know, swamp, this swamp that has overcome the country. Now, are we going to be able to overcome that? Because everyone in Washington, not everyone, but almost everyone, has been corrupted, and they have these honeypot operations. And we talked about it on DC Madam a number of months ago, and I repeat that, but a few years ago, the man that wrote the DC Madam exposed this. There was Craig Spence. He was probably connected with the CIA or some intelligence operatives. They were running a setup, a honeypot operation there in a mansion in D.C. and setting up all of these generals and these politicians, setting them up with little boys and girls or whatever they desired, and then taping this and then using that to control them, see. And it's supposed to be quite evident that many of the people in Washington, D.C. are controlled by blackmail of having been set up through these kinds of operations. And so it's just overwhelmingly discouraging to see this. Now, getting back to this election, okay, the election that just concluded this week on Tuesday, well, they expanded the Senate by 2 to 3. Senators, there's still races in Arizona, Metzala, and Seneca, and there's all kinds of allegations of wrongdoing out there on that election, and that's the U.S. Senate election between those two in Arizona. What's really attracting a lot of attention now is the corruption that's being uncovered in Broward County. If you remember, Broward County is Lakeland, the site of that shooting, Douglas High School. Now, after that shooting, we took some CBS video, and I might even put it back up here tonight. It depends on how much time I have. but I'm up here at this conference in Dallas and Grapevine with John B. Wells. But we saw at that Douglas High, we saw a team, it looked like, comes out of the east end of that building where the shooting took place. And no one's ever explained that. CBS had a, it was about probably 25, 30 minutes after the actual event occurred, where the authorities had come in and CBS had were flying a helicopter over the school and that particular building. And it showed these men coming out and getting into an unmarked white pickup truck carrying a very heavy bag that it took two men to put in there and then get them leaving. See, no one has ever explained that, and the authorities have never, you know, come up with the explanation. We've got allegations against the sheriff that of that county. We have previous allegations against the head of the election in that county, that she's got all kinds of, cases. I mean, she's got all kinds of charges. I don't know if they've ever been concluded one way or another, but she has spawned a series of charges of violations of election law. And so now they're trying to resolve that. They find this box, they find that box. You know what I mean? They don't know exactly, you know, how to count this, because their boxes are being created, possibly. President Trump just tweeted yesterday about signatures not matching out in Arizona on some of the ballots out there. So we've got a long ways, a few weeks and months to try to work through these questions. Now, coming up next is Representative Issa being interviewed by Judge Jeanine. And she asked the question, what if, the Republicans don't win and hold on to the House? Well, they lost the House to the Democrats this election. And just listen to this and see what Issa's answer is. There's, in his district out there, Bloomberg threw in a bunch of money. He's been converted now over to a Democrat. He threw in a bunch of money against the Republican, House, candidate, and they did win. So listen to what Judge Jeanine has to say with Issa. Issa's a good stand-up guy. Okay, listen to this carefully then.
What will change in Washington if the House flips? I spoke about that and more with Republican Congressman Darrell Issa. Take a look. Congressman, thanks for being with us tonight. And you are retiring at the end of this year. You've held that seat in the 49th District in California since 2003. And the two people vying to get that seat are a Democrat, Mike Levin, and a Republican, Diane Harkey. What I found so interesting in this is that among those who've already voted in that district, this guy, Levin, seems to be up 80% among those who believe that health care is the most significant issue in the race. So my question to you is, did I miss something on health care? Why are we all of a sudden talking about health care? It's like the Democrats' biggest talking point. We got rid of the individual mandate over the last 2 years. What happened?
It is interesting that we actually have driven down the cost of health care under Obamacare during the last couple of years by getting rid of some unnecessary regulations. And yet the voters are, in some cases, being driven to be concerned again, that scare tactic on health care. In the case of Mike Levin, to be honest, he has $8 or $9 million pummeling, just absolutely distorting Diane Harkey's record. Well, Diane Harkey, quite frankly, is being outspent about 7 or 8 to 1. So it's not a fair match. It is one of those challenges where her race wasn't funded. And
wasn't
so he's got
funded,
kind of
by the Republican Party?
Not a penny.
So, but you had that seat for so many years. I mean, somebody has to think that, unless something significant changed, that a Republican can win that district, although you're pretty special, I assume.
I'm not that special. The reality is that that seat could have been held in a normal year, but the hundreds of millions of dollars just in those races, just last week, $11 million came in from Michael Bloomberg to spread over four candidates, two million of which I believe went to Mike Levin to beat up the highest ranking Republican in the state of California, Diane Harkey, with a splendid record. But Michael Bloomberg has certainly become an ardent Democrat trying to flip the House.
Indeed. All right. I want to move on. You were chairman of House Oversight, and you know what investigations entail. I believe you were chairman from 2011 to 2015.
Yes.
Now, there have been multiple reports that the Mueller-Russia investigation is winding down, and certainly without any indictments of any Americans connected to Russia collusion, no Russia collusion proven. And yet Adam Schiff from your land of California couldn't stop himself anytime he got in front of a camera to talk about Russia collusion. And I have a quote here. I mean, there are so many like this where he says there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy in plain sight. Now, if the Democrats win the House, he's going to be in charge of House Intel. Can we expect another 2 years of it's there, it's there, it's there? I mean, aren't we tired of this yet?
Oh, we absolutely can expect that. Adam Schiff, who's had access to all the classified information where there is no collusion by the Trump campaign with the Russians, has managed to say, well, it's in plain sight. Well, it's in plain sight in fake dossiers that were produced and paid for by the Obama administration. And so you can expect Adam Schiff, a former Democrat U.S. attorney, to be out there talking about things that he can't tell you the source, but he's going to swear exist. That's what he's been doing for the last 2 years of the Trump administration.
Okay.
Well, Congress and the Trump administration have been building a robust economy, getting rid of regulations.
I just have a few seconds left. You know, with the the numbers in the economy just yesterday, you know, the unemployment rate 3.7 and the jobs going up. I mean, what is your projection as it relates to the House? Does any of that stuff matter?
Well, you know, all of the good work done by the Republican House, that's going to come to a halt and we're going to be frozen. The good news is the Trump administration's deregulations will continue. Many of the things that have caused us to have increases in export of oil, increases of export of durable goods, that's going to continue. But it is a challenge because so much of what was the agenda the last 2 years that the president signed is in danger of coming to a halt. And that's a real shame because the economy today has negative unemployment. More people more jobs being asked for than there are people to fill them.
All right. Congressman Darrell Issa, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Judge.
We have so many people that retired this time around that were part of the Republican Party that the Democrats came in there and grabbed up on those positions. And like out here in California, this ISA, you know, Mike Levine overcame this Hackney woman who was the primary candidate that should have won that area out there in California, but didn't. In a stronghold, formerly a Republican stronghold of Orange County. So this is what we're seeing. We're seeing convoluted type of mechanism. Now they were talking about this health care, and this is something that we need to just mention briefly, is that toward the end of the campaign, President Trump started emphasizing and they started recalling some other ads and putting in place, you know, economy, economy, economy. It's the economy, stupid, was sort of, I guess, his idea. But all the time, Democrats running for these congressional districts on the House side were talking up health care, and they were making allegations that the Republicans would cut off the citizen Social Security benefits or health care benefits or whatever. And they put the scare and the fear of God into many of these people. And I heard all kinds of allegations from different people before the election that the Republicans were going to close down this, that, and so forth. And so, but the point to make here is that I believe President Trump, in his mistake here, he should have come back and explained and had the Republican Party and throughout all of their existing representatives in these races explain exactly what the health care was and the changes that Trump put together. And I think one of those changes was suggested by Rand Paul about group insurance, and it dropped many of these premiums appreciably. But the management that President Trump had of the existing health plans, Obama health plans or whatever, ensured that the premium payers would pay a much lower rate, and that can be attributed directly to President Trump's administration. And for the group rates that were suggested to him by Rand Paul, that can also be done. But we have this Adam Schiff now is going to be head of the House Intelligence Committee. And we have an interview here by Lou Dobbs of Andrew McCarthy. And they're talking about whether or not this Russian investigation by Mueller should come to an end. So listen to this. I mean, it should come to an end. But with this change in House, we're going to have the House committees change over. And they're going to bring things up, you know, about the Russian thing through Adam Schiff and others that were, you know, are dead. And then ignore some of the real scandals that are going on that would reveal some of their culpability. And instead, they're going to just dwell on a further attack on Trump. But this is a very interesting, a little over 3 minute interview that Lou Dobbs had with Andrew McCarthy. And I'll add, Andrew McCarthy's a stand-up guy. Recently on Laura Ingraham's show, they were expressing their opinions about who should be the permanent attorney general. Whitaker is temporary, but he could be a permanent, but other possible people could. And Laura Ingraham suggested Chris Christie, and Andrew McCarthy brought up that George Washington Bridge scandal. And so he's a stand, in my opinion, Chris Christie should be never appointed to anything. But there were problems with that George Washington Bridge scandal. And some of his staff supposedly, you know, are no longer here on earth. I don't know what happened to them exactly. There was a murder-suicide of one couple that were close advisors to Chris Christie. But anyway, Laura Ingraham doesn't really, she's not that smart and street smart on certain things. I like most of what she says, but she really, that was a gaffe, in my opinion, to express that Chris Christie should be the attorney general. He's the last person to ever consider for that post. But anyway, this is an interview by Lou Dobbs, who is a stand-up person. And I put his name out there among some of my Democratic friends, and they said he's a terrible person and all that. Well, they've really done a job on Trump. Trump is Hitler, or Trump is nationalist. That means he's a Hitler, and the Hitler was a nationalist and all this. But being a nationalist doesn't mean you're a Hitler, not at all. Trump has always said America first. That's his nationalism. So anyway, listen to this with Lou Dobbs and Andrew McCarthy and see what you can come up with. But it's a very interesting, just short interview. Here we go.
Joining me now to take up what has been it's a mandate, apparently, in the minds of many Democrats on the part of the base insisting on impeachment of the president. The state of the Mueller witch hunt is also, of course, very much front and center in the wake of Jeff Sessions' ouster. We're joined by Andrew McCarthy, former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, renowned federal prosecutor, great American, and National Review contributing editor, Fox Business contributor. Andy, it's great to have you here. And let's start with first the final report. Is it truly at hand? Is it time, do you believe, to wrap this thing up?
Well, first, thanks so much, Lou. It's a pleasure to be with you. And I sure think it's time to wrap it up. I've long thought it was time to wrap it up. It seemed to me that when Mr. Mueller filed his two indictments against those two groups of Russians, the troll farm case and the hacking case, the substance of those indictments mm-hmm. seemed to preclude the possibility of there having been a conspiracy between the Kremlin and any Americans, right. much less the president's campaign. That being the case, I don't know what we're doing here.
Well, we're going to have a lot of questions about what we're doing here now, squared, cubed orders of magnitude, because Gerald Nadler, the incoming head of the Judiciary Committee, overheard by Molly Hemingway talking about impeaching Justice Kavanaugh. I mean, this is truly the lunatics have taken over the asylum, it appears. In the form of new Democratic leadership in the House.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There's a lot of sensible people who I think would tell you quietly and off the record that this is a really bad idea, not just substantively, but politically, because it can only, if the emptiness of these investigations and the vigor with which they'll go at them can only help the president as far as the 2020 reelection bid is concerned. So, you know, the problem is I think the base, and particularly the money that represents the bloodstream of the party at this point, has moved way to the left, and they want these investigations, whether they're a good idea or not, and the base is going to be served.
Very quickly here, Andy, the president says that he and the Senate will return in kind if the House insists upon these vacuous investigations. And by the way, when I say vacuous, I'm being bipartisan. We have seen the fruit of House investigations, and it has been pure bitterness and no substance whatsoever. Little substance whatsoever. Your thoughts about the president's capacity to return fire and that of the Senate to do so?
Well, look, I've for a couple of years wondered aloud, for example, why hasn't the president released some of these documents that the House Republican-controlled House committees have been asking for? And, you know, maybe he's playing the game ahead of where we are, and he's using that as something he can respond with. I don't know, but certainly they won't be without cards to play.
All right. I would suggest that probably your expectation on the president is exact. Andy McCarthy, always good to see you. Thanks so much. And enjoy his columns on National Review. I assure you, they're always an education. Thanks so much.
At Fox News Network and Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, well, you heard about Tucker's home being surrounded by protesters, and they banged on the door and broke the door a little bit and yelled all kinds of insulting things about Tucker Carlson. His wife was at home, and I believe his brother, who lives close by, rushed to help, you know, out and so forth. But this thing right now is on the verge. That Maxine Waters incited, you know, a lot of this protest thing to go up to people and start harassing them verbally and so forth. So she's much to blame from this. Now she's going to be an incoming power player on the Democratic side because the majority now is in the House. So it remains to be seen how much trouble, and with Adam Schiff in there stating recently that he's going to keep pounding away at this Russian collusion, that it's evident. It's just right in front of your eyes, you know, that Trump and them are guilty. While it actually, Uranium One and all that goes back to the Obama administration with Hillary proves absolutely that they're the ones that colluded back during that period of time with the Russians on giving them these votes that they needed to take over Uranium One, see? So we have an ongoing problem here. Now, the Secretary of State of Florida is ordering a recount of these two counties' votes, especially Broward, I believe, is what has been mentioned. So we're going to have a recount in Broward County for sure. Also, I think in the Senate race also, we're going to have a recount. The U.S. Senate race, they're going to be a recount. And then this race in this Broward County voting irregularity is going to be looked at also. So I don't see much quick resolution to any of these things. It's getting bogged down in the litigation and so forth. And Molly Hemingway recently on one of her commuting trips on a train coming down into New York City, heard someone say that, they want to go in there and impeach. I think it was into the Washington, D.C. area. But anyway, I'm not clear about that, but she did elaborate on Fox. But Molly Hemingway recently had an experience riding a train with a U.S. representative. That U.S. representative expressed the fact that they wanted to go in and impeach Kavanaugh, that they still had, you know, reasons that they wanted to impeach Kavanaugh. And my gosh, that's... that's long over with, and I wish we would get into to much more important issues. We're going to be concluding this conference up here with John B. Wells and his wife and all those people that the supporters poured out for this. I'll say that. And there's a lot of people up there. Oh, what we got to cover too before we leave tonight is these infernos in California. But Mazzulli, Dr. Mazzulli was speaking, and he was contacted and was given information that his own home might be in jeopardy to these California fires. And I think Paradise, California, was one area, and now they're moving down to Malibu. I think Malibu is also being threatened with fires right now. So we've got all those fires that are coming, you know, down. And then we got these the U.S. Senate race in Florida that's under, you know, for going into recounts and so forth. And then we've got these Broward County irregularities which we've got to try to resolve in some way, you know what I mean? But anyway, Trump made a mistake in not emphasizing probably health care enough at his major rallies. And that would have gotten the word out. But those were his base players anyway. And the Democrats were going to use, the fear. See, people have great fear about these health situations and benefits. And you can get down there and get on their fear level and motivate them. And I think that's what turned out a lot of your middle class, your upper middle class people making $10,000 more than others. I think there was reports in Pennsylvania that some of these people that were in the upper middle class turned out who had voted for Trump previously based their voting for the Republicans candidates on things like that. Now in Texas, we had Beto come on strong. He was funded by an extreme amount of millions of outside money. And well, Ted Cruz, let me tell you about Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is tied to the Bush family, to the oil industry, and to Goldman Sachs. And his wife reportedly had been managing into the millions or billions of energy securities working for Goldman Sachs. And she was a 5-year intern with the Council on Foreign Relations. So Ted Cruz is tied in there to somewhat the Republicans in name only or not. I like some of what he's saying lately. We had to vote for him in Texas to keep the vote in the Senate for confirmation and these simple majority votes that we needed to get stuff through. The Texas is changing. Many of your millennials turned out and voted on the Democratic side. See, I think that's what the statistics will show otherwise. Now, down here, we still have the caravan. Trump is trying to deal with that. He's going to just deny them without an adequate explanation or evidence of either political suppression and things like that for being a political, you know what I mean, refugee. You got to have, if your life is in danger and things like that, you got to have reasons and you got to be able to show that need to be a refugee in this country, and then you can be granted entrance on that basis. But it's been testified to by Sarah Carter. She went down there and reported for Fox a few weeks ago, where she found out there were MS-13 members in some of those caravans. And also they were pushing the children up front to make it look like that these were just women and children trying to find a better life. Well, unfortunately, what's happened down there is that this country, and it's our leadership, they've plundered those Central American countries in the past, in the 20th century. And Smedley Butler wrote a book called War is a Racket. I think I've mentioned this before on this Saturday night broadcast. But we're not completely, you could say, innocent of the Central American uproar. We have supported death squads. We supported right-wing dictators down there. And those people have been suffering under these dictatorships and death squads and things forth. Now, on the other side of the coin, on the Catholic side, we have Professor Gutierrez from Peru, that he founded the Liberation Theology Movement teaching at Notre Dame. So what are they trying to do? What they're trying to do, and I've got to keep repeating this, the big money has been funding world communism, believe it or not. And the Gutierrez's of the world and all these leftists in this country and so forth have been funded by the ultra people, the wealthiest people in the world, the most powerful people that control and own central banks. They create money out of thin air. They are behind the world communist movement so that they can manage those people through entitlement and benefit programs with, and then they'll bring in all this electronic money. So if you're in disfavor with the regime or you've been politically incorrect, see, and they're pushing that too through the colleges. If you're politically incorrect, you may have all your credits frozen or you might have those credits wiped out. They're beginning to go against some of these conservative talk show hosts by denying them the ability to clear sales through the credit mechanisms of these cards, these not only credit cards, but also debit cards. And so this is getting dangerously into a tyranny of financial tyranny. Now, you hear this saying all the time, military-industrial complex. How about the military-industrial financial complexes? That's what we're suffering under. There was a speaker, Will Champion, put up on the here in Dallas in Grapevine at the Hilton. He put up on the screen three causes of war, of defeating a country, of conquering, three ways to conquer a nation. And it was like war, it was commerce, and it was culture. Okay? What's happened is that we have been supporting warlike dictators throughout the world for a long time, okay? And also, we have been conquering some countries with commerce. And now the Germans are good at that with the European Union. They have been the most productive, see, nation in NATO, see, in the European Union. And thus, they are actually beginning to take over countries because of their strong economy and their commerce. So you can conquer a nation through war, through commerce, or through culture. Now, when we say culture, we can't forget a person that has written extensively in this area, Antonio Gramsci. He was an early Italian communist in Italy that wrote extensively about this, part of the Republican movement also. But he wrote about how to overcome and how to spread world communism throughout the world. And he wrote about attacking the Western culture. He said to bring, you know, the West down, to overcome the West and to spread communism to the West, you have to destroy their culture. So if you look around and you look at American culture, in fact, there's a man that wrote, a professor out of Virginia, we call his name, I have his book, but he wrote a book on culture wars, see. So you could say that are the enemies of America, and they're terrible people, you know, groups, I guess. But there is a group that has been cultivated into believing Marxist communism should be the political system for the United States, see, and should be that way. It's equally treating everyone, and that capitalism is the boogeyman and the bad person and the villain, see. So this has been going on and conditioning and teaching Marxist thought and so forth in our colleges and universities for a long time. But along with this, okay, we have an attack, a cultural attack, using pornography and all kinds of movies and media, multimedia type of attacks. It's ideas. It's sometimes it comes in the form of multiculturalism being spewed forth by the Aspen Institute. And you think, oh, the Aspen Institute is for America? No, they're not really for America. They're part of a mechanism. In fact, when I talk to people up here at this conference in Grapevine, up here in Dallas on this John B. Wells conference, Operation Classified, I have to try to make a point of the size of the mechanism that people are being caught up in, see. It's not just the little schoolhouse down the ways from you, the little elementary, the middle school, high schools, or whatever, colleges and universities. It's a whole way of teaching and indoctrinating the world in certain, you could say, well thought out plans and traps and snares. Okay. And it's leaving God behind. It's emphasizing other things than God. It's a Luciferian satanic dynamic in behind some of these movements. See, and people don't really understand what they get caught up in. There's cultic thinking out there, and I can say you can become enculturated. That would mean culture, or enculturated. And enculturated means that you've been taken over by a cult. The Cult Awareness Network was an awareness by Stephen Hassan that got caught up in his parents. He was taken into one of these cults, these religious cults. And they had to send a deprogrammer in there to pull him out and deprogram him, because these cults have a way of insinuating into the individual a very strong belief system in the cult leader, and you have a cult of personality that is very prevalent in most of these cults, see. But along with that, everyone is a discipline. It's highly disciplined. It's highly, you could say, hierarchical. The master, the head of all of the cult, is usually called a master, or the leader, or whatever. You know, there's lots of names for these people. But they always portray these people as having the infinite knowledge about this cult and its views, see. These cults, they vary. They could be religious views. They could be political views. They could be philosophical views. They could be New Age views. They could just be a plethora of differing kinds of approaches and hustles. See, I'm always saying that there are two forms of hustling out here. You can be hustled by friends and individuals that you feel sorry for, and they can hustle you and giving them money and things like that. Or you can be hustled by institutions. You can be hustled by school systems, by education, by philosophical systems, by all kinds of different, you know, institution people that are involved in institutions. So you can become institutionalized, you know. And become institutionalized means you become overtaken by these ideas. And these collection of ideas become your worldview, see. But that worldview might be a means of controlling you, and not really well-intentioned as to, well, your fellow followers of this worldview believe, see. There's always leaders out there that are contriving and trying to contrive ideas that snare you, that set you up, see. And Hollywood is like that. There was a speaker today that spoke on the Hollywood system, okay? And he was most Heavener, David Heavener. The title of his speech was Hollywood Mind Control Machine: Who's Behind It, What's Their Agenda, and How Do We Stop It, see? I mean, we've got some people up here in Dallas Grapevine at the Hilton that are sitting out there and expressing all kinds of very, very important mind washing, mind control types of mechanisms. It's exposing those, see? And that they always happen to come down on that dark side, though, that cult side, that mystery school side, the side that you can't prove, ever prove. And what's unfortunate at times, even well-intentioned people can come together into groups and start believing types of ideas that are very, very restrictive and controlling. So are we not in a thought prison then? Does what we begin, does the philosophical, political, economic, so forth ideas that we become impregnated with, do they become taking over of our actions and controlling us? Or is there someone up above that taught us all of this, these new ideas, and they're the controllers, see? And so you've got to look at all these leadership roles and say, what's this guy really about? I have been able to come up with one piece of advice to anyone and everyone about how to look at groups, okay? Whether you're looking at Bible-thumping, fundamental Christian to the far right, or you're looking at atheists and agnostics and secular humanists way over on the left over there, or you're talking about communists, this and that, or whatever, whoever and whatever view, or whatever group that is trying to entice you to become a follower, a member, and they want your money, or they want you to go out and make money and give it to the group, and the leader of that group is going to benefit the most, okay? But whatever their view is, I firmly believe that unless it encompasses the general idea of forgiveness, then it's a hustle. I believe that that dynamic taught by Jesus Christ, Jesus, was the most divine of all of his teachings. See, he had some very, very divine teachings also, other ones, love thy neighbor and so forth. And the Ten Commandments came way before Jesus, so I believe in those too. But when you're looking at something that's being taught to free you, then how can that person teaching you that or persuading you to forgive yourself and others, how can they ever become a controller over you? That is the essence, and I think the great insight of that, of the teachings of forgiveness, is that someone that's trying to get you to do that then is helping you to move towards a metanoia, a change of direction, and in the direction of freeing yourself from those past memories, those past hurtful, and you become less wounded, see? You become healed. You become a way of healing yourself from these very, very terrible past and hurtful and damaging and traumatic experiences that you had. Whether those experiences were within the family or with a lover or with a wife or a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever between that, you've got to try to overcome that. The 12-step program has two steps. I think it's 8 and 9 that talk about making amends to people. So I believe that the 12-step program in the AA program is highly effective because it actually is preaching forgiveness, but in the sense or defined as making amends to people. But what if that is, that's everything. That's like forgiveness then, forgiving. Making amends is forgiving and asking for forgiveness from those people. When you start dealing with people on this basis, on a walking in the spirit of forgiveness, some will not want, I don't forgive you, I'm not going to accept that, this and that. Well, that's okay. What it is about, the metanoia, the new way, the new journey, is about you freeing yourself from them, see, to where they can no longer control you and manipulate you through hate and resentment and so forth. That people are highly, and this last election showed how highly people can be maneuvered, managed, manipulated through this hate that has been created for Trump and for some of the ideas that he stands for. So those people over there that are spewing forth all of this hatred are not your friends. And the hate can come from the left, the right, it can come from a Democratic Party, and it can come from the Republican Party and all of those different groups in between. So the way to define a group, if you're going to affiliate with some group, is through forgiveness is the answer. If they don't want to teach a forgiving path, then you don't need them, and they're just suckering you into wanting to give them money or something. I want to thank each and every one of you out there for listening. I'm just trying to make some headway and trying to get some people to free themselves from these bad memories and these past wounded, traumatic feelings and so forth. And we've just got to try to come out of it, and coming out of it then frees yourself from them. Thank you very much, and good night. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.